views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher, and if you're a regular listener to our show, you know we're here to discuss issues and ideas that can transform your life. Today, we've got a great show lined up for you. Every choice has a consequence. Let me repeat. Every choice we make has some sort of consequence. Now, if we make bad choices, well, the consequences will be, let's say, less than desirable. I've made some pretty poor choices in life, and the outcome, well, let's put it this way. The outcome wasn't fun. But the opposite is also true. If you make positive, empowering choices in life, you will find that the outcome can be awesome. I, too, have lived that. So I guess it's safe to say here on Straight Talk Radio that I know a thing or two about choices and consequences. And my guest today is also a master of choices and change. You see, from my perspective, we're all faced with change daily. And in order to make change work, we need to make choices that move us in that direction. Make Change Work is the title of a new book by international speaker and author and consultant, and my guest today, Mr. Randy Pennington. Randy is an in-demand speaker and author from coast to coast and beyond, and he's in demand for his unique insight into making change work in a society, well, that's bombarded with change daily. He's also the author of some outstanding books like Results Rule and On My Honor, I Will. Randy's personal work experiences has taken him from a locker room attendant at a municipal swimming pool to consulting in the boardrooms of corporate America. And so, to help us figure out how to make change work, let's welcome Randy Pennington. Randy, it is great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me. It's a treat to be with you today.
You know, I'm so excited to have you on the show. I really would love to start the conversation about your book, Make Change Work. And you state, the biggest challenge most businesses face is staying nimble and relevant in a world that is constantly changing. So, Randy, why don't we start off by telling me your motivation to write this book?
Well, you know, one of those things, Chuck, you mentioned that I do a lot of consulting as well as speaking, and that's absolutely true. And one of the things that I see, especially in my consulting clients, is the marketplace is changing. I mean, if you know, you know, if you've had success in the past, then you know what used to work. You know, there's a saying that we tell people is that past success proves that you were right once. And that's because the expectations are changing, the customers are changing, the competition is changing, the economic world is changing, certainly the political world is changing, and all those things affect who you are. And of all the things that it takes to be successful, the only thing you can control is what you do. I mean, if everything that affects your business and everything that affects your life, and it goes back to your choice, the only thing that you can control is what you do. And for most people, they do what they've always done. And as Zig Ziglar used to say, when you do what you've always done, you get what you always got. And that's not going to work for a lot of folks today, not only in their business, but if you start thinking about what it takes to survive today, what it takes to thrive today, you have to constantly be changing all the time. You know, as you were talking, Chuck, I thought back. One of the things that my wife told me very early on in our relationship, once we got serious with each other, and we've been married now 26 years, she said, you know, Randy, I'll never ask you to change. And then she went on to say, but I do expect that you'll continually adapt.
Ooh, I like that.
And that's sort of what the expectation is for each and every one of us today. If we're going to continue to stay relevant in a marketplace, we're going to continue to stay relevant in a relationship, we're going to continue to stay relevant in our communities, we have to continually adapt to all the forces that come to us.
You know, Randy, you said, and it hit me as you were talking, you mentioned Zig Ziglar, you know, do what you've always done and get what you've always gotten. But you know, I honest to goodness, I understand the spirit in which that statement is made, but I'm also seeing that today, gosh, there are a lot of people that would say, you know, that you meet on the street, so to speak, that would say, well, you know, gosh, if I just keep doing what I've done, I'll get what I've had. And yet, the reality is, I'm not so sure that that is as true today as it was, because if the world changes, let's put it this way, change it for a second. If I'm a postman and I've delivered the mail for the past 20 years, the fact is, just the idea of people sending letters and using the postal service has so dramatically changed, I'm not sure that that person can still do what they've done and expect to get what they've gotten, because you have to adapt so differently.
Well, and I mean, that is, you're exactly right as you said that, and that you've made a great point. The challenge that we have today is that a lot of the things, you're right. I mean, we won't be able to get what we've always got, because, I mean, you can from a choice standpoint, you know, right. from a success standpoint. But there are many things in our life that are completely out of our control, like I said, except our ability to adapt to them. And I took some flack back a couple of years ago when the economy turned bad after 2008, because people kept asking me, you know, when will things return to normal? And my response to them is, what if this was it? I mean, what if this is normal? Many of the jobs that were lost when the economic meltdown happened are never coming back.
Right.
And, I mean, there are jobs right now that are in danger of becoming extinct. You know, one of the things, Chuck, if you look at my book, Make Change Work, one of the things you see on the cover is an upside-down dodo bird.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. What's the deal with that?
Well, I mean, actually, one guy, I mean, I'm glad you noticed it was a dodo bird. One guy I was doing an interview with said, what's up with the upside-down chicken on your book cover? but, you know, the dodo bird became extinct within 100 years after its first contact with humans.
And, really?
Yeah, it was found on the island of Mauritius, and once the sailors came ashore, the dodo bird had been living in an environment where it was absolutely suited for success. It had no natural predators. There was no reason. It had lost it or abandoned its ability to fly, and so it lost its ability to fly. It had become, as the old saying goes, fat, dumb, and happy. And so when the sailors came ashore, the dodo, being a very curious bird with no natural predators, just walked right up to the sailors to check them out. Of course, sailors, having been on the boat for months and months and months, saw a basically 3-foot-high, 45, 50-pound bird walking toward it. You know, it's pretty safe to understand what they did next.
Big chicken dinner.
Yeah, and so, but, you know, interestingly enough, though, and you would think, well, then they just stop walking toward them. It wasn't the sailors that did the dodo bird in, because, as it turns out, dodo meat's somewhat tough. But what did them in is the secondary, the unintended consequences, and isn't that the way it happens very often in life? It's the unintended consequences, those secondary things that really get us. while the sailors didn't like dodo meat, the fact that the birds laid their eggs on the ground was perfect for the hogs and rats and feral cats and dogs and what have you that came off the ship. And the dodo was literally wiped out in less than 100 years because it could not change quick enough to survive. And, you know, when you look at a lot of jobs today, there you mentioned postal workers. You're exactly right. Postal workers, you know, they're not a dodo bird yet, but I think they're not too far away from being on the endangered species list. When you look at a lot of other jobs, you'll find jobs that are on the endangered species list. Certainly you find companies that just no longer are relevant in the marketplace. I mean, and you know, one of the best examples I think right now is Blockbuster Video versus Netflix.
Right.
Netflix did away with the need for Blockbuster. Why do I have to go up and fight with a guy about when I return a DVD or even a VHS tape when all I have to do is go to my computer or go to my television or go to my set box and stream something live any time that I want? So, I mean, the technology is driving change. Society is driving change. As you mentioned, there's certainly political decisions that are driving change. And if you can't adapt, you are destined to become, like the dodo bird, extinct.
Randy, before we close out this segment of the show, I need to ask this question. You use a lot of business examples in the book, yet I get the clear impression that the principles that apply to work or business also apply to, we'll call it, work in your personal life. And so did you really intend the book to work on both fronts?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things, there are a lot of business examples, but there are a lot of personal examples in the book as well. And, you know, I'm a very firm believer that, you know, we try to separate work and life at work and life away from work and so forth. I think there's just life. And, you know, life is experienced wherever you are. And, you know, the things that make sense about about getting a group to change at work also make sense about getting yourself to change if you're trying to develop a healthier lifestyle or, you know, getting a family dynamic to change. The principles are always the same.
Well, my guest today on Straight Talk Radio is Randy Pennington, and we have been talking about his new book, Make Change Work. And as soon as we take a quick break here on Straight Talk Radio, we'll be back with Randy because I know there's a whole lot more to this discussion. Join me in just a minute.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub.
Anxiety can attack or creep up on us at the most inopportune moments, which makes us feel powerless and out of control. However, anxiety is a basic feeling that is created by our mind. Understanding some do's and don'ts about anxiety is a first step to demystify this emotion and regain control. The more we know about a challenge, the more we can find ways to overcome it.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Well, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I am here with my friend, Randy Pennington. Randy has written an incredible book that I really think people need to consider whenever you're thinking about change, when you're thinking about what happens in life. The title of his book is Make Change Work. And if you're interested in a copy of the book, you can find it at certainly Amazon.com. More than likely, you can find it at Barnes & Noble if you walk in the store. And certainly, if you go to his website, PenningtonGroup.com, PenningtonGroup.com. And Randy and I were talking a little bit about change and how this works not only in business but in personal. And Randy, I think you kind of ended with, you know, we live. But I guess there's a feeling in business and on the personal front that the pace of change has sped up. Does that seem really true to you? I mean, what does that mean for people today?
Well, the pace of change has sped up. I mean, if you look at technology, for example, there's a principle in technology, Chuck, that talked about the fact that the power of a microprocessor was Moore's law. The power of a microprocessor doubles every 18 to 24 months. Remember hearing
right.
that for years?
And years. Absolutely.
And so if you go back to when we all, you know, when my very first personal computer I bought, I mean, it was a smoking hot computer. I mean, it was the hottest thing on the marketplace. It was the souped-up Ford Mustang or the Corvette of computers. It was a 286 processor with a 40-megabyte hard drive, and I just sent a file to somebody today that's larger than the entire hard drive that I had. You know, I mean, and it was, but it, and then, you know, two, and it cost about $2,000. And 2 years later, I bought another machine. It just, I mean, it was smoking hot. And it was, you know, it was a 486 price, and it cost about $2,000. And that kind of went on and on and on. Well, now the pace of change is much, much quicker. But it's the compound effect that makes a difference. See, there's an old French, and so this has continued to double. And now what seemed like a very small change, because things have continued the compound effect, a little change becomes, you know, one more change becomes dramatic. A doubling becomes dramatic. So think of it this way. There's an old French children's sort of rhyme, story, puzzle kind of thing that says this. Imagine that there is one lily pad in a pond today, and the number of lily pads doubles every day. On what day is the pond half full?
And
the answer is, you know, it's going to, if it doubles, let me go back and say, it doubles, and in 1 month it's completely full, okay?
Wow.
So 30 days it's completely full. On what day is it half full? And the answer is day 29. If it's doubling
That's
every
right.
day,
yes.
And yes. So day 30, it's completely full. Day 29, it was half full. When you start looking at the compound effect of change, it's
right.
like we're living in day 29. And,
wow.
You know, because it's moving, because the compound effect. Now you add a different factor that says, okay, we used to compete. From a business standpoint, if you were a business person in North America, you competed with business people in North America.
Right.
Now, because of technology and things, remember they told us technology was supposed to allow us to slow down and work less?
Right.
Yeah, that hadn't happened for me. I'm not sure about you.
Yes, not at all.
But see now what's happened is that pace of change, and so you have more people with moving at faster rates of change in a continuous environment. And so what my corporate clients tell me is that they start a change in their company. They implement a new process or a new program or a new initiative, and before that one is done, they're starting another one. In fact, in some cases, before that one is done, before it's ever completed, it's abandoned because it's no longer relevant.
Right.
That things are moving that quickly. And, you know, as a result, all of us feel like we're running as far and as fast as we can, and yet we're still being asked to run faster and further.
Yeah, and Randy, I guess the thing, number one, I don't, how do I put this? I don't really mind change. I think it's kind of fun. And I think maybe there are some of us that are wired that way. But I have to admit, I wonder how folks will keep up. And as an example, I walked into Walmart the other day, and literally I just looked around, and the question that was in my mind was, what would happen if most folks found out that their job had been replaced with technology, or they had lost their job? And the question was, what would folks do? And I looked around, and I'm not saying this is a judgmental thing. It could be Walmart, or it could be, you know, any store in the mall or wherever it happens to be where people are gathered. But it seems that in many cases, people are truly unprepared for the inevitability of change that's coming. And it's going to be dramatic.
Well, again, let me go back to one of the examples that, well, I mean, the latest example is I wrote in my book, Make Change Work, and this is how fast things change. You know, at the time that I wrote, the state of Nevada had just approved legislation that allowed driverless vehicles on the road.
Right.
Okay. So at the time, that was a big thing. That was the new thing. And immediately I thought of, wow, okay, so now what happens when there's driverless vehicles on the road? Couple that with there's a little robot that's been introduced into the marketplace within the last year called Baxter. The thing about Baxter is that Baxter has little eyes on its head so that humans can feel more comfortable interacting with him. You can train Baxter to do anything. You take its arms or its legs and you move them, and it becomes, and Baxter can learn a rote task. And the cool part is it costs less than $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when you've got Baxter in a driverless vehicle? Okay, what happens? Forget about Walmart. What happens when you work for UPS? What happens when you work for FedEx? You think that's going to change? And I thought, you know, that's going to completely change an industry. And
absolutely.
Then I turned on the TV and found out, well, Pennington, you're late to the game because you're thinking about, you know, robots and trucks and Amazon's flying drones.
Right.
And so you're right. I mean, technology is going to change everything. And here's the part that we as humans have to get over, and we've never really done it successfully yet, is that technology is going to continue to go. And the thought always was, when technology happens, it will allow us to have more leisure time. It will allow us to learn new things. It will allow us to be more productive. And for some people, that's true. But for most people, it's not. For most people, because they have stopped learning, it goes back to that thing, you have to stay relevant, you have to stay nimble, you have to stay engaged. And once we stop learning and get excited about that, then all of a sudden, when the world changes around us, one, we're like the dodo bird, we don't know it's coming, and two, we are completely unable to adapt because we have no skill set. Let's go back to something I mentioned in the first segment. Many of the jobs that are going to be in America that we lost in America are going to never come back. And the reason they're never going to come back is because, one, they're being done by technology, or they're being done, two, they're being done in another part of the world. And the tragic part of that is, and this goes back to your very first comment, choices have consequences. We've made choices for years and years and years that says we're educating for jobs that exist today as opposed to educating for jobs that will exist in the future. And so many of the people that you're seeing, quite frankly, Chuck, they don't know that it's coming because they've never slowed down. They've never slowed down or never taken the time to look.
Yeah, and Randy, it's a tough situation because I look at it and I think to myself, okay, because you mentioned driverless cars, which I'm fascinated by. But I look at my little granddaughter that I spent time with over this past weekend in a rainy, cold environment, and we were sitting around, and it occurred to me that by the time she's ready to drive or licensed to drive, the reality of a driverless car will be pretty normal. And to me, it's kind of like, I guess, when horse and buggies were out and everybody knew how to ride a horse because that's how you got from point A to point B. And then a car is introduced, and eventually there's a whole segment of people who fundamentally don't know how to ride a horse. I don't. I mean, if I did, it would be somebody putting me up there, and I have no idea how to control it because it isn't relevant. And soon, driving a car won't be a relevant thing to an average person because, well, why not let technology do that? You can spend your time in the car doing something that is more productive or fun or exciting. And that will be the new generation's joy that is going to be dramatic for those folk like you and I who tend to fall into that baby boomer category.
Well, and, you know, and again, we can thank technology for that. And this is going back to human beings making change work. You know, it used to not be that, you know, there was a time when that wouldn't be considered a deal, a real difficult challenge because, you know, we baby boomers, you know, we would be nearing the end of our lives at this point. And, you know, you just didn't live that long. Well, you know, some of the research says that there, you know, within the next 100 years, certainly, and probably less, it is feasible to assume that the average lifespan is close to 100 years old.
Right. Absolutely.
And now what are you going to do? Now how do you stay productive? And it comes back to, if you can't figure out how to change, if you can't figure out how to, as my wife said, you don't have to change, you have to continually adapt. If you can't do that, it's not going to be a great, not going to be a great life for you.
My guest is Randy Pennington, and I am Chuck Gallagher here on Straight Talk Radio. We've been talking about his new book, Make Change Work, and you're going to want to stay with us through this break because when we come back, Randy is going to talk about some practical applications of things that we can look at in terms of making change work for us. So stick with us here on Straight Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
Well, my guest today on Straight Talk Radio is Randy Pennington. And Randy, I have to share a brief personal note. Randy talks about the importance of relationships. And I doubt, Randy, you'll remember this, but my first National Speakers Association North Texas meeting, I was 2007 in Dallas, Texas. I knew of you, and when I went into the meeting, I asked someone I met to confirm that you were in the meeting. I saw you standing back talking with someone, and I thought that's who you were, and well, they confirmed it. So not being a particularly shy person, I made my way to you and introduced myself, and not knowing what to expect from a person with your background and success, you stood and talked with me for quite a while, encouraging me to pursue my passion. And Randy, I'm going to tell you on a personal level, that's something I will never forget.
Well, you're very kind. I do remember that because I remember you. I remember you doing a piece of your presentation, and I was just very impressed not only with your passion, Chuck, but also your the way you'd crafted the story together, and it takes a lot of courage to stand up in front of audiences and lay yourself wide open like you do from a straight talk perspective and simply say, hey, folks, there are some days that, you know, I'm going to tell you about a time when I screwed up. And that takes a great deal of courage, and I admire you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. And Randy, your kindness is the kind of thing that I have found from so many people and so many guests that I've had on this show. Folks, we are here with Straight Talk Radio talking with Randy Pennington about his new book, Make Change Work. And I want to remind you that you probably should pick up a copy of this work. It is a great book. You can buy it from Amazon, pick it up from a bookstore near you, or visit Randy's website, penningtongroup.com. Pennington, P-E-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, group.com for more information. Now, Randy, I want to go back to something that was, I thought it was kind of fun. It was a fun conversation. In the very first segment, we were talking about the cover of your book and the fact that you have this upside-down dodo bird, which I first looked at and thought was a duck until I looked at more carefully. And I thought, that's odd. And you've got a chapter in the book entitled Dodos and Coyotes. So we know that the dodo went extinct, but what's the coyote representative of?
Well, and Chuck, the coyote is probably the most, or the coyote, depending upon what I found, is depending on which part of the country you're living in. For those of us living in, like I do in Texas, it's a coyote. But the coyote is the most probably nimble animal around today. So let me kind of give you some history to put that into perspective. Coyotes are native to the desert Southwest, and now they exist literally from coast to coast, as far north as Alaska, as far south as Central America. They live in certainly in the desert, but they live in the mountains. They live in forests. They especially live in urban environments. The research has suggested that there may be as many as 2,000 of them living in urban Chicago. In the city proper, I think it's like 37 states have placed bounties on its head, and it continues to grow in its population. It continues to expand its reach, and it continues to flourish. Unlike most animals that never make that transition to interact to living in a world where humans dominate, the coyote has figured out how to do it and how to thrive at it.
Well, I have to tell you, I believe that, and I am shocked. My personal coyote story, which is a very sad one, is I lived in South Lake, Texas from 2005 to 2008. That's the time I had the opportunity to meet you personally. Mm-hmm. And we had several cats. They were inside and outside cats. They went back and forth. And, of course, in Texas, everybody seems to have a fence. And this was a highly populated area. And sometime in 2008, one of the neighbors came and got us and said, I think you might have lost one of your cats to a coyote. And sure enough, coyote had gotten the cat. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how in the world is that possible when you live in a neighborhood where there's children playing everywhere and houses, you know, stacked with fences separating, and that's about the extent of it. How in the world would you ever find a coyote? But sure enough, apparently they were pretty prevalent.
Well, they are very prevalent, and the thing is, and this is one of the things that makes coyotes extremely adaptable, is they are so good at hiding, you will see them. I mean, they will see you long before you see them. And you won't see them, a human won't see them, unless they want you to. In fact, coyotes have become so adaptable, and this is amazing when I read this, that they will actually walk on their tiptoes to keep from being heard.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Now, for those folk that are listening, let me just break for just a second. For those folk that are listening to this radio show, this is not a show about animals as such. The whole purpose of the discussion of the coyote as compared to the dodo bird is to talk about adaptability to change.
That's exactly right. And there's certain things that make the coyote extremely adaptable. One of it is the fact that it is somewhat paranoid, I guess you would say, from a human being perspective. Is Andy Gove, the head of Intel, said, wrote the book, said only the paranoid survive. But, I mean, they're deeply suspicious. But most important, they are completely purpose-driven and mission-focused.
Right.
They don't think about what happens or what doesn't happen. They simply think about, today I need to eat. How do I do that? What do I have to do to get what I need to be done? They just simply do it. They don't worry about thinking about the change. They're focused completely on the goal.
That's interesting. They're not focused on the change. They're focused on the goal. Okay, so let's say, Randy, that I'm a business owner, a business executive, a manager in an organization, or a team leader. I mean, it could be any of those. And what do I have to do to get people that I lead to change as quickly as I need for them to, so we can remain competitive?
Well, one of the things, Chuck, that you have to do is start talking about change all the time. And not about change for the sake of change, but you always have to focus it on, from a customer perspective, from an operations perspective, what from a sales perspective, what's going on in our business, where do we have to go next? And that you continually talk about what it is, where it is you want to go with your business, why it's important that people continually adapt to get there. And I almost wouldn't even talk about change. I would talk about what are we trying to pursue. So think of it this way. You said you spent time with your granddaughter. Was it granddaughter this week?
Granddaughters, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so remember a time when you were the parent of a two-year-old.
Okay.
And your two-year-old son or daughter walks into your kitchen today and sees the ultimate prize on top of your refrigerator. It's a jar of double-stuffed Oreo cookies.
Okay.
Now, what's immediately going through that child's mind at that point?
Well, they want the cookie.
They're singularly focused on the cookies. Do you have to tell that child, hey, think outside the box?
Oh, no.
Try new ideas. I need you to change your approach. No, all you have to do is focus on the cookies, and the change naturally happens. Now let's look at the other side. Do you have that same problem that there's like Brussels sprouts up there?
Well, I doubt that they consider that a prize, so they're probably not focused on the goal. Absolutely.
Right. So here's the question for a business today. What's on top of your refrigerator?
Ooh, I like that. That's a great question.
If it's Oreo cookies, we get it. If it's Brussels sprouts, we don't. It's the same for us as individuals. Every single day, if you wake up saying, what's on top of my refrigerator? How do I get that? What is it that would be so exciting, that would be so cool, that would be so much fun, that would be so rewarding to your relationships, to your personal life, and to your success, that you would work every single day to try whatever you can to get there? That's what drives, that's what the coyote does. It's so focused on survival. It's so focused on raising its pack. It's focused on doing those essential things, and it doesn't worry about the change. It doesn't say, well, gee, today there's no squirrels to eat, so I don't know, what do? I guess I'll starve. It says there's no squirrels to eat, so I'll find some trash.
I'll find something else. Right, absolutely.
I'll find something else. Because at the end of the day, my purpose is to eat. And, I think there's something that we as humans, and certainly there's something as organizations, and it comes back to that fundamental question of what's on top of your refrigerator.
You know, that's fascinating because, as you said, that makes so much sense. If the right thing or the thing that you are passionate about is on top of your refrigerator, you're absolutely right. You'll figure out how to get there. I guess all too often, the unfortunate thing is people quit looking on the top of the refrigerator or have the wrong thing there, and therefore the motivation isn't there for them to deal with or make change work in their life.
there's that. You're exactly right. There's no reason why they even should bother.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay, now, look, we've got a really short period of time, and we may have to come back after the break with this, but you've got a word in your book, and I think it's pronounced spinating?
Absolutely.
What is that? Okay, Randy, I'm hearing the music that says, gosh, we've got to go to break. So let's do this. We're going to come back to the question. You've got a word in your book called spinating. We're going to come back and answer that question. So stick with us on the break here. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Randy Pennington, who has written the great new book, Make Change Work. So hang with us through this short break, and we'll be back to talk with Randy and talk about spinating.
Hello, this is Peter Aquilina, CEO and founder of Deer Defense, LLC. For over 15 years, I have been dedicated to tick reduction and the prevention of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases. Deer abatement and tick reduction is what we do, and it is all we do. We offer deer fence sales and installation, organic tick sprays, even a simple and inexpensive Lyme risk assessment for your property. Call or email us today at 203-550-8350 or deerdefense@gmail.com. That's deerdefence@gmail.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Well, my guest today on Straight Talk Radio is Randy Pennington. I'm going to recommend you pick up a book by my friend Randy Pennington. The name of the book is Make Change Work. And you can find this book on Amazon.com. You can pick it up at a bookstore near you or find it on Randy's website, PenningtonGroup.com, PenningtonGroup.com. And Randy, we were talking right before the break, and I had to ask you this question, and then the music hit, and it's so let's go right back to it. You've got a word in the book, which is, I think, pronounced, or at least I assume, spinating. What does that mean?
Spinating is a word, Chuck, that I picked up from one of my graduate school professors, a guy named Dr. Merlin Dye, and he said, human beings are guilty of spinating. And here's what he meant. He said, what's supposed to happen, if you imagine, this is going to be a very rudimentary explanation, but if you imagine that something strikes a nerve and then it runs up through the nerve, it hits the spinal column, it's supposed to then hit the spinal column and go up through the brain to be processed before we respond to it.
Okay.
And then we respond, you know, however we respond, but it gets filtered through the brain. He said, what a lot of humans do, though, is they, you know, something hits, the stimulus goes up there, and it travels up the spinal column to a point that's about parallel to the mouth, and then just goes straight out the mouth without ever going through the brain.
Oh, I've seen that before. I've done that before.
Oh. I think we all, and he calls it spinating, and he said, which I think is a wonderful word, but, and he said, so what ends up happening, though, is that when we don't stop and think about things, then we find ourselves in this unproductive stimulus response loop that, you know, we have a stimulus and we respond, And
right.
the way, and I'm going to go back to your very first premise because it's so powerful, the choices have consequences. The way we break that down, the way we break that loop is to make sure that that response is being filtered through the brain, through our brain of choice, as opposed to habit.
Oh, that is powerful. Randy, that is so powerful, and it's one of those things that, you know, you could almost do a whole show on that concept, and I see that so often. Obviously, I talk about ethics and choices and consequences, and the unfortunate side of doing what I do is you tend to find a lot of people who are examples of unethical choices, as I was in the past. And the reality is most of the time it's because of spinating, because something happens, there's a stimulus, you immediately act, you don't think about it, you don't think about the choice and the consequence that follows, and the next thing you know, you're in the midst of a very unpleasant consequence.
And that's exactly what happens. And the consequence in some cases can be, you know, a poor ethical choice, as you talk about, or it can just be, you know, I mean, sometimes things happen. I mean, you think about bad choices, and sometimes you said in your opening, you get choices that are good and choices that are bad. Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't a bad ethical choice, but there was a night that I walked away from a charitable auction owning an Arabian horse. And, you know, it's not an unethical choice, but it was certainly a bad one. But it was a bad one. And so, I think that the real challenge for most of us is, you know, I you mentioned one of my other books. It's a book called On My Honor, I Will. And in that book, there I use something called that we call the ethics litmus test. And there's six questions that people can ask themselves. And I think that there's some application to every choice that we make. Two of the questions are, one of the questions is, how would the person you would like to be respond to make this choice? How would that person, think of a person that you would like to be, and, you know, pick a point 5 years from now. Would that person you would want to be, would that person make this choice? The other one is, where will this choice lead you? As we talked about with the dodo bird, it wasn't the fact that the dodo bird got killed by the sailors. It was, obviously, dodos didn't have a choice about where they laid their eggs at that point. It's completely, you know, it's a mindless thought. But if they'd had a choice, would they have chosen something different? And it's, where will this lead you? What are the unintended consequences? What are those secondary consequences? And I think for whether you're talking about an ethical choice or a change choice, or a choice about, you know, what you eat for dinner tonight, you know, all those things, you got to go back to that. Choice has consequence. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. At least filter it through your brain so you're being conscious about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that consciousness. And sooner or later, Randy, everybody has to deal with an unpleasant personal change, okay? Like losing your job. So with the short time we've got left, what are some of the tips that you can give people for dealing with change when the change isn't their choice?
Well, the most important thing is mindset, how you think about change. And you know, there's always going to be some disappointment that's natural. Disappointment that lasts a short period of time is natural. Disappointment that lasts a long period of time is a mark of some potentially that you ought to involve somebody else in that decision. You need to get a different perspective on it. But the change piece of it is how you think about it, because we don't create our own reality. We create our own perception of that reality. The reality, I tend to think reality is what it is. Perception isn't reality. No, that's not necessarily true. Perception is my reality, but it doesn't mean that it's the only reality. How I look at this thing is important. You know, Grandma Moses, one of the most celebrated artists in America, in American history, became an artist very late in life because arthritis wouldn't let her do, you know, needlepoint and quilting anymore. So she could have said, hey, wait a minute, I can't do the, you know, I can't do my hands, so I can't do anything. Or she could say, well, gee, I can't do that, but I can do this. It's a mindset thing. And that's where you. That's where I think we have to. That's where it starts. The second part is, it really is like the like that old movie with Richard Dreyfuss says. It is about baby steps. You do something. You do something every day. You make a conscious choice to do something every day, and until it becomes habitual. And some things it takes. Everybody says it takes 21 to 30 days to build a new habit. That's not true. And I know that for two reasons. One is I read that dark chocolate is good for your heart, and it didn't take me 21 days to develop that habit.
Okay. I got that.
Second, though, is, You know, I mean, if you think about your new exercise program or something that's a real challenge for you, it just becomes, it's still, you know, a year or two later, it's still you have to make a conscious choice about it. We're all going to be different, but you have to think, here's the mindset. The second thing is you have to then decide, here's what I'm going to do about it, and you take, and you do take that small conscious choice of here's how I'm going to happen next. I mean, if you start with that, if you start with those two things, and everybody says, you know, this mindset stuff is, you know, all a bunch of hooey. It's really not. The way we adapt to change is by understanding that we create our own response to it.
That's true. We do create that.
We create, and we have to be responsible for our own choice about how we think about change. And once we do that, then that opens the door for other things. The hard part, going back to spinating, the hard part is to break that stimulus response loop.
Randy, we're running very close to time. I want to ask you a real quick question because I know you're in a lot of corporate boardrooms with your consulting work. Obviously, I speak a lot about ethics in business. What do you see on the landscape regarding ethical action in business today?
This may be somewhat controversial. I think ethics has been hijacked by the legal department in most corporations.
That's fair enough. I wouldn't disagree.
I think it's unfortunate. I think that in most corporations, ethics has become an issue of compliance. Here's the thing. There are corporations out there, there are companies out there, where ethics isn't a compliance issue, it's a commitment issue. And in those companies, I think you have a higher level of commitment to the values of the company. I think you have a higher level of candor. You have a higher level of ownership. And if I could do one thing to change the course of ethics in corporate America today, I would say we have to get back. We have to take it, get back away from this ethics is compliance so that I can, you know, check off a box when I'm dealing with the sentencing guidelines in case we ever get caught, and start talking about values and start talking about what's important. You know, and start talking about it, not from a compliance, but start talking about it because we believe that it's right.
Randy, I appreciate that. And I will tell you, I know today there are times that I am hired to speak because I am a checkoff box for the U.S. sentencing guidelines for people to avoid criminal activity for unethical actions. But we've been talking with you about your book, Make Change Work. And look, I really appreciate you taking the time. I want all of our listeners to know that you can pick up the copy of Randy's book. I'll spit it out in a minute, Make Change Work, at Amazon.com or a bookstore near you, or go to Randy's website, PenningtonGroup.com, PenningtonGroup.com. And if your organization is planning a powerful meeting that seeks a truly inspirational presenter, one that earns standing ovations time after time, visit Randy Pennington's website. I'm sure he'll welcome the opportunity to talk to you. And Randy, thank you so much for joining me. And to all our listeners, join us next week for more Straight Talk, transformational talk radio to live by. This is Chuck Gallagher. And remember, every choice has a consequence. So here's to the power of positive choices.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.
What's getting your attention as physical pain or illness? Have doctors been unable to help? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Amazing things happen every day, sometimes with jolting awareness, and sometimes with subtle shifts aided with Christy's divine healing gift. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Where do you desire to go in your life? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Our Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside us waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase while Victoria Cohen takes everyday situations like job loss, relationship struggles, parenting challenges, work stress, and health concerns and shows you how awakening to your inner voice helps you make more conscious choices where your life flows more smoothly with greater clarity, purpose, grace, and ease. As a psychotherapist and soul coach, Victoria has inspired thousands of clients over the past 31 years to listen to their inner wisdom and let it guide them on their true path. You can learn this too on Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen. Your soul suitcase is packed. Are you ready to start your journey?
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hey, Moon, you want to know something groovy?
Yeah, Jess. What's that?
Dr. Pat has been on the radio for 10 years.
10 years? Are you kidding me? That's awesome!
I'll tell you what's awesome. She's bringing back the Pay It Forward campaign and Holistic Makeover to celebrate. If you want to know more or get involved, go to thedrpatshow.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedrpatshow to get updates about everything we're doing. Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/thedrpatshow and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/thedrpatshow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/thedrpatshow and twitter.com/thedrpatshow.